Christianity in Europe. But the experience, they assume that because, for whatever reason, they assume their experience has not been fruitful, therefore all religions or all other traditions in Latin America, in North Africa, in West Asia, or elsewhere, therefore must come under the same umbrella. And that, again, I think is a mode of thought that is very Eurocentric. In other words, it assumes that the best of thought must somehow come from Europe. In reality, what has happened in the West is that by pushing aside Christianity and religion altogether, gradually we see liberal capitalism taking hold. Family values, cultural values have all been decimated. The United States today is very different, as you know better than I, from the United States 3-4 decades ago. The family is on the decline. So this move actually is moving further towards devastation, I think, for society as a whole. Society may function. People go along with their daily business. But I think that the fact that family values are under siege in the United States, in Europe, make society much more impoverished in many ways, perhaps not necessarily always in the material sense, but spiritually. In Iran, I think one of the main elements which has provided this resilience among Iranians to defend their rights, to defend their sovereignty, to defend their dignity is the fact that they do have something to hold on to that is more than just some ordinary government. The government that that pursues, or at least in theory, the state pursues the notion of justice, dignity, social justice. In Iran, for example, if a political or a politician is deemed to be very, very wealthy or pursuing his own interests, it's frowned upon because it's the whole of the society views Islam as being an ideology which stresses social justice. If a political leader in Iran wishes to somehow forfeit Iran's sovereignty, it would be unacceptable to the society at large, because again, the dominant ideology, which is more than just a materialistic ideology, gives that dignity to individuals, that ability to stand up for their rights and to reject such a notion among, let's say, Westernized or those who do not have the stamina to stand up for Iranian rights. So, and I also think the political system in Iran has another advantage, and that is that while, as your guests have rightly pointed out, that it has strong elements of democracy, but unlike in the West, which is a liberal capitalist part of the world, where it is power that decides who becomes the president, and it is cheap promises that puts someone linked to power into the prime minister's office or the president's office. In the case of Iran, we have direct elections, but in the case of the Wali Faqih or the Vali Faqih or the supreme leader, he's elected indirectly by scholars who are elected by the people, and that prevents direct influence of interest groups and capitalist elements in society. And at the same time, it gives, it also allows for a person whose values are firmly entrenched in religion and in the dignity of society to be able to rule with greater ease without, again, being pushed or being put under pressure by elements in society which are very selfish, which are there to accumulate wealth for themselves and so on and so forth.
Okay, well, thank you so much. We're going to cross back over to Bardi as you're looking at the footage, though. You're seeing images from different cities throughout the country. We're going to cross over to Bardi, and he's going to be talking to some other people. So, Bardi, it seems like people have turned out en masse already.
Indeed, Marzi, it was on this day back in 1979 when the U.S.-backed Pahlavi regime broke in the face of the massive nationwide demonstrations of the Iranian nation. To get a better perspective of how the Iranian revolution is perceived in other countries in the region. We're now joined by political commentator Mr. Ibrahim Moussaoui, who's joining us from the Lebanese capital, Beirut. Mr. Moussaoui, welcome to the program. Tell us about the ripple effects that the Islamic revolution sent throughout countries in the region.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you for giving the opportunity, and let me take the occasion, let me seize the occasion and congratulate the Iranian people, the Islamic Revolution, the leaders, the Rahbari Muazzam, and everybody who has been following the course of justice and equality and dignity, because such an event has marked a kind of shift, a major shift in the history, not of Iran, but also the region as a whole. It has been highlighted in a very good way by the guests, and here I want to greet them all, the guests at your studio, Mr. Mirandi and Mr. Mazloumi. I don't know the third one, so excuse me. I want to say that this blessed event has ushered in a new era in the region as a whole. It has become a kind of hope, a perpetuated hope that keeps always going further and further in the minds, in the hearts of all oppressed people, of all deprived people, those who are fighting against the arrogance, the world arrogance, those who are fighting against the oppression, they have the hope that this is a real revolution that has come from across the grassroots of the people, has been led by a significant leader, has been always preserving dignity, integrity, consistency in order to fight back and in order to keep all its principles intact. So in this regard, if you go to Lebanon, for example, one of the very important and the blessed fruits that have been part of the tree of the Islamic Revolution is Hezbollah, the Islamic Revolution, and Islamic resistance in Lebanon, the resistance in Palestine, the steadfastness in Syria. All these things are happening because of the support of the Iranians, and more importantly, because of the hope that has been implanted by the Islamic Revolution long time ago. Now, when we talk about this kind of revolution, you talk about something that is deeply entrenched in the hearts and minds that extends back to history. When you go back in order to emulate a certain area, you remember the time of Imam Ali, prayers be upon him. And we remember very well how he has been the pioneer and how he has been the forerunner in the social justice and in fighting the oppression. And he said that it isn't worth it, I mean, for power, for governments, for wherever, if it's not going to enact the right, if it's not going to enjoin the justice, if it's not going to enjoin the good and forbid the evil, then it has no meaning. Here, the meaning has been given to the people of the region. And a very important thing that we have to remember here, this revolution, this Islamic Republic that has come with this slogan, with this motto that it is an Islamic, it's not for the East, it's not for the West, it has come at a time when nobody wanted that, actually. The whole world regime, if you want to say, which has been like a bipolar system, they didn't want anyone else to come and try to propagate a new message, actually. The new message that has been propagated, the message of Islam, it represents truly the authenticity of Islam, the authenticity of the revolution, that it counts and relies only on God. And after more than 34 years now, after more than three decades and a half, the Islamic revolution has been able not only to survive and to continue, but to perpetuate, to be a pioneer. Such a revolution, such a state, the Islamic Republic of Iran, has been overwhelmingly welcomed by people, by intellectuals, by the grassroots, by the revolutionaries, by the liberation movements. Why? Because it has always been able to survive the conspiracies and to provide a model to be emulated by others, not only as states and governments, but also as people, as revolutionary movements. So there is this kind of mixture or combination which is unique by itself that continue to unfold the new surprises, positive ones, to the region and to the people. Iran has been under imposed war for 8 years after the success of the revolution. You're talking about siege, you're talking about sanctions, you're talking about conspiracies, you're talking about assassinations, you're talking about all kinds of harassments, yet come and see. Other governments, other states who have been favorite for the United States, who have been provided and supported, they are not anywhere. Iran, although there had been all of these kind of measures, drastic measures, siege, wars, conspiracies, now it is a pioneer in the industry and development, in the nanotechnology, in the literacy, in the PhD per capita, in the economy, in the development. So, I mean, here you're talking about a real model, a new paradigm, a new era that could be emulated by others.
Mr. Mousavi, you mentioned that the revolution marked a major shift in the region, and it also perpetuated hope. Many analysts and experts that we speak to here on Press TV believe that the countries and the uprisings in the Middle East and North Africa followed the model that was conjured by the Islamic Revolution.
Absolutely, I totally agree. Now, it's not a kind of tossing the words in the air now because we're talking about Iran and the Islamic Revolution or whatever. When you want to go and make a kind of study and make a kind of deep research, someone that you could respect, you have to study the kind of after waves, if you want, or the kind of impression and the kind of marks that has been able to be provided, that has been able to be triggered by this Islamic revolution from the people. I can tell you simply what happened in Gaza, what happened even in Tunisia at the very beginning, and has been marked and has been labeled by Sayyid Khamenei, the Imam of the Islamic Revolution, the Imam of the Ummah. He has been very clear and very outspoken to say that this is a kind of Islamic awakening, while others, they didn't believe in that, actually. Now we know more and more that the people have been, if you want, stimulated, have been triggered by the after waves of the Islamic Revolution. What happened in the liberation movements, when in Lebanon the Islamic Revolution has been able to, the Islamic resistance has been able to liberate Lebanon, most of the Lebanese territories from the Israeli occupation, this has given the hope, and we were able to see the Intifada, the first one and the second one, and we have been able to see that the resistance in Palestine has been able to improve its capabilities, has been able to develop its work against the Israelis. The same thing happened in other places when you have all these dictatorships in our Arab world. The people in the streets, if the Lebanese can do it, if the Palestinians can do it, we can do it. After all, you're talking about certain dictators that are being imposed from outside, and they more or less boil down to the interest of the West. So when you say that this is a kind of a result or a fruit of the Islamic Revolution, you wouldn't be giving a kind of exaggeration at all.
Thank you very much. That was Mr. Ebrahim Mousavi, political commentator, joining us from the Lebanese capital, Beirut.